at random. With your host, GMC.
A very good evening to all the listeners again. I can't believe we are doing a show already, and it seems like I am on the radio every week. With me today is again my trustworthy sidekick, Oki.
Hello!
Hi, Oki. So, you've got a new network cable, right?
Yep.
Is it net neutral?
No, I think I'm going to be sued by the TLS company or the guys from, this has the color which you cannot say.
Oh, that's
okay. You know, for what you need for printing, like cyan, magenta, and...
I thought it was that color because it was optimized for porn, actually. It's a pink cable for the listeners who can't see the cable, of course.
Oh, you can watch through our studio camera.
Oh, yeah, and then you can see your nice little decoration that you put up. What's that? That's an IKEA box? That much
yeah,
is
yeah, it's
clear.
An IKEA box. What's inside the IKEA box? Yeah,
what is inside the IKEA box?
Yeah. What's inside the box? Well, folks, you can probably hack the box next week, but we know what's in the box.
Okay. It's pretty. It's nice.
It's from Lila Fish.
It's from what?
From Lila Fish and Schneider.
Okay.
It's a mood light.
Ah, it's one of the mood lights with the
USB controller and stuff like that.
Wow, that's cool. Well, we got a packed program again.
No.
What?
Do we have a packed program?
Yeah, we do have a packed program.
Who are you going to call? Ah!
Yeah, lots of people.
Ooh.
But first, I hope they answer, though. First, I would like to... something odd. This was on the internet recently. A nice blog post from, someone calling herself Maria Techno Sucks. And she's kind of a militant feminist. Well, not a feminist. That would be unfair to all feminists. I mean, she's just a psycho, basically. She responds to, I don't know if you've seen it, the thesis about hackerspaces that Elgin Blankwater wrote. And in one of the paragraphs he mentions, there is not a lot of women in hackerspace as well.
Oh, no?
There
maybe she should go to Germany. There are a lot of women.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. She is so convinced that all men are evil and out there to, I don't know, penetrate and break. She has this, it's funny, by the way. If you go to the blog post, below it are adverts from Google Ads or, I don't know, for porn. So that's a bit silly. But she's saying, for example, that, let me just quote this. Get it through your heads. The reason why the public sphere is replaced by a virtual sphere is because men are recreating exclusively homosocial, androcentric spaces all over again in the virtual realm. It's about the financial gains that can be reaped in an exclusively male space. Job hunt related networking, everyone? Right, so that's why I'm so rich. I responded to it like, well, you're kind of misguided. There are some. I mean, look at Hack 42. There's plenty of women there. Okay, true. We don't have many women in ref space, but it's...
Yeah, but that's because...
Should we be politically correct and have like 50% men and women? Let people choose whatever they want,
yeah,
regardless of their sex. And
if you would put the place in Delft, there are more male technical students than...
Yeah, but
that's
the whole problem. She sent me, I responded to her, and she sent over a piece, which is work in progress, by a guy named Dr. Paul Taylor, who apparently understands gender issues. But it's, I don't know, it's anecdotal, it's stereotypical, I don't know. Let me just quote one or two things.
Oh.
So this guy writes, the main characteristics of a hack are thus, simplicity. The act has to be simple but impressive. Mastery. The act involves sophisticated technical knowledge. and illicitness. The act is against the rules. Apparently, that's what drives us, doing things that are against the rules. My God, where did this guy get this impression? They are aggressively pointless acts. Well, the funny thing is, if you look on the blog of this Maria, she actually is toting a gun. I mean, she's threatening to kill all men because they're all bastards. Well,
oh, then she must be American because Americans carry guns.
No, it's she's Dutch, so she might just come over tonight and shoot us all.
A Dutch,
yeah.
Did our special forces from the internet see this? The Dutch special forces? They look at wikis and stuff and arrested people with guns.
Uh-huh. You wonder, but she's got a gun, but we hackers, we are all hacking to fulfill some subconscious sexually based desire to penetrate and violate.
Yeah, but
see, that's what
you know. The internet is for porn. What do you otherwise, after you do your banking accounts, then you do your download your porn, right?
That's what she says also. All the women that are in hackerspaces are on the laptops in porn. Well, I don't know.
I know some. I don't know nothing.
I don't know. It's all a piece of intellectual drivel, semi-intellectual drivel.
So
we should not go into this. Bullshit. Let's just throw on some music.
Cartoon, and if you can mention, heard it, they were singing in Dutch.
Yeah,
it was. But I'm not going to translate that.
It was Dutch metal. It was about it was about money and people who had a lot of money.
And go see them live because they have an awesome show and they have CDs for very little money. And they also have nice booklets and stuff like that. So
cool. And it's all Creative Commons. That's the best thing. So you go to vankantoon.nl, right? Well, we put it on the website for our foreign listeners who don't know how we spell things in the Netherlands. Meanwhile, I have one of these foreign people on the line. It's not from far, though. It's from Belgium. Hans Maas, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Wow, excellent. We have a connection. So you are with Wireless Belgium, and that's actually why I asked you in the show, because this is some... it started out as Wireless Antwerp, right? How long ago was that?
Indeed, it started in Antwerp, as Wireless Antwerp. That must have been about 2003, 2004, when Wireless was still in its early stages and not really known. And a few of us computer-interested guys thought about, hey, let's try this new wireless network thing and see how it works and what it does. And let's try it between two buildings and about 500 meters link and stuff like that. And then here we are now, a lot of years later, with quite a large network in the meantime.
It is quite large. I mean, how many nodes are there by this time?
I don't know the exact count because we are growing every week, but
wow.
Must be about, I think, 250 nodes for the moment.
I think there's this site, wirelessantwerpen.be. It's also wirelessbelgium.be, of course, but if you go to nodedb.wirelessantwerpen.be, you can actually see the nodes on the map, and it's quite impressive. I mean, Antwerp has a high density, but from there, links go to Brussels, to Leuven, into the Netherlands, right?
Yeah, we do have a link with Netherlands. I think if you take the forest nodes from each other, we have a few nodes at Belgium in Belgium coast region, with Blankenbergen, for example. And on the other side of the country, we go up to Signal de Botrange, which is the highest point of Belgium, which is actually the French-speaking part of Belgium. So that's about more than 200 kilometers apart. So that's quite large. We don't have coverage in every area, of course, but we have a lot of nodes in the entire country. And we are also linking to Eindhoven, for example, and Zierikzee in the Netherlands. And we are planning to link further into the Netherlands with every volunteer that we find that is interested in the network and that is willing to join. We are always interested in linking to other countries and to other people. So it's all fun and it's growing every week.
It is pretty fun. So one of the people who is indeed interested in linking up with Wireless Belgium, which I think will be renamed again to Wireless Luxembourg soon, and then maybe Wireless West Europe. And I mean, we want to get The Hague on the net as well. So we're looking at options in Rotterdam, high build. We have a high building there that we might be able to use, one of the highest in Rotterdam, actually. But how does this work? If we say we want to join, what do we do? How do we get into it?
Well, actually, first thing is, of course, that we get in contact with each other and that we look at the options on the high buildings or something that you have in the region. And then second is that we have to determine whether there's a line of sight. So that's very important on these high frequencies that wireless networks use. You have to have line of sight, so you have to be able to see the antenna from the other side of the link. C is, of course, a relative because you can't really see about 20 kilometers far, but it means that there can be no mountains or no buildings or anything in between. You have to have line of sight. That's first starters. And we try to determine that also with the node DB that you mentioned earlier, which has data from height from all over Europe and all over the world from NASA, and it calculates whether there's any mountains in between the link. And if there's line of sight, then we start by doing a little survey. So we just go up to the building and onto the roof, and we try with a battery-powered setup with an antenna and then some scanning material, and we see what we can see, what wireless networks are there. And usually we can see one or more nodes from the network from where we are doing the survey, and then we know what we need, what kind of antenna do we need to make this link possible, what's the signal-to-noise ratio that we have. Is it possible to set up a good link? Do we need extra sensitive antennas for this link? And once we determine all that, we build a node, which usually consists of a little mini computer, actually, 12-volt powered computer, that does all the routing. And then a few antennas, usually a backbone link with an antenna, which is a point-to-point antenna, directional antenna, which is high gain, so we can make those long links. And then an omnidirectional antenna on the side, which is a 2.4 gigahertz antenna, so that people in the neighborhood can connect with their laptops or with their PDAs or iPhones, I don't know, which is all we need actually to set up another node. And this can go very fast because we have nodes where we see an interesting location, we just pack up all the stuff, try to get in contact with the person that that can get us on the node, arrange all the details, and even get a node up and running in half a day or something. Other nodes take longer, of course. Sometimes you have to negotiate whether you can get onto the roof or not. You have to get permission from a lot of people. And I know nodes where we've been negotiating for about 2 years before we can get the permission to get onto the roof and to put something there, put an antenna on there. But it's all a bit difficult, of course, because this is all non-profit, and you have to go up to somebody and ask, can we put something on your roof? And we don't want to pay for it. So it's not really easy to negotiate on those kind of things. And then the extra thing that you have to say then is, oh, and we also want to use your electricity for free.
It so, can be difficult, I guess, because the mobile phone operators also are very interested in roofs, I guess. They pay big money for these
indeed.
Roofs.
So it's quite difficult if you're you ring the doorbell on some door and some guy opens and you say, hey, can we put something on your roof next to that mobile phone operator antenna? And then they say, oh yeah, because we know what you pay. And then we say, oh yeah, nothing.
Right.
So my phone's ringing there.
That happens as well. So the network is spreading. You have different kinds of nodes, like the long distance links, but as well nodes that spread the network into the, well, basically the last mile, where people can connect to it. If you connect to this network, what can you do? Can you communicate with other people on the Wireless Belgium network, or can you even go further?
Well, it's just a basic computer network, so your home wireless network, and then just a little bit bigger, but which is nice because it is so big, we don't really need internet access. We can already use the network to access other parts of the country or other computer systems in the country. So we have, for example, a few local applications that we have on there, and there's quite a lot, but I can only mention a few as examples. So we have like a voice over IP network running on the network. We have a lot of ham radio applications, also voice systems. We have video links. What we also do is, for example, if we have events that would like to put a live video stream in high quality on the internet, we also can give them the necessary bandwidth even into the smallest part of the smallest town to have enough upload bandwidth to send your video stream from your event to the internet. But of course, when you connect to the network, you can also go online on the internet. We have quite a lot of internet gateways on the network that are connected to faster or not so very fast internet connections, usually VDSL connections, or there's even a few data center connections. We have about 100 megabit uplinks connected to the network, where you can go on the online. So when you connect to the network, you can use the internet for free. But of course, somebody has to pay for the bandwidth. So not pay, actually. Of course, all bandwidth has to be paid for, but we usually get it sponsored. So we do not pay for any 100 megabit lines connected to the network. We usually try to convince people to give up 100 megabit internet connections for free, which is quite difficult, but it works. So we have
Ideally, we don't need those connections anymore, of course. We can just... I mean, you're on it. If we get the Hague on it, you could be maybe live in the show through this network. And that's the beauty. It's all free from control. That's what interests me personally. Free from control from corporate interests, but also governments. And still, it's all within legal limits, right? It's not that you're blasting megawatts out there and yeah.
Now that's the thing. When we started with this network, we talked to the Belgian telecom the BIPT. I don't know what the English name is, but it's like the government agency that controls all the spectrum usage in Belgium and all the everything that is sent in radio waves over the air. And we talked to them and we said, hey, we want to build this little bit larger wireless network. And they said, well, yeah, it's no problem, you can put wireless in your house. And then we said, yeah, but we want to go a little bit further than our house. And they said, yeah, okay, as long as you don't use too much power and you follow all the legal limits, then you can do this without a problem. I don't think they had, well, we didn't have in mind what we have now back then, but I don't think they knew what we meant by want to go a little bit larger than our own house. But that's the basis of the network. First of all, it has to be free for everybody, so we don't use any encryption. All the wireless access points are just open. Everybody can connect. There's DHCP service running on it, so you get an IP address, you can just access everything. It's for free, so we're not charging any money for it, which is also important, because when you charge money for internet access, then you're an internet provider and you have to pay to have that license. So we don't charge any money for accessing this network. And third part is we do it within the legal limits of whatever power limits you can send on the frequency that you're using. So that's quite a challenging part, since you cannot send that much power out of a wireless device by legal limits, which is also why we make the backbone connections on 5 gigahertz, because there you can use 1 watt of output power coming out of your antenna. And if you use that with the correct directional antennas, you can actually make links that go over, I think the longest link we have running now is about 50 kilometers from one point to the other. And the speed we can do there by using a 40 megahertz channel and the N extensions from the wireless toolkit is actually about 85 megabits of throughput.
Wow.
Which is pretty nice for a 50 kilometers link.
It is, definitely.
So that's about how we built the backbones. And then the local access points, of course, are on 2.4 gigahertz, because most laptops and phones and iPhones and iPads are still on 2.4 gigahertz wireless cards. So we use those to spread signal locally. And there you can use the 100 milliwatts of output power coming out of your antenna. So we have them set to that. So we try to do everything within the legal limits, because otherwise it would be over very soon. Once they find out that we're not doing this the legal way, then of course it will all end very soon, because they will be very, very quick in taking over or confiscating the material and shutting our net.
Yeah. So this is all pretty impressive. I mean, we could talk for hours about this. Sadly, I only have an hour today, so I have to wrap up here. If people are interested, they can check out wirelessbelgie.be.
Yeah,
Are you on IRC as well?
Not really, because the people that are interested in this, usually when you find smart people, I'm not going to say that we're all smart, but if you find people that have that are good at their job and are good at computers, then they don't really have that much time.
So, I hear you. No, it's just, so you hear that Lucky, he's from X-Space in Heerlen, in the Netherlands, and apparently you've been contacting them about getting into their building, because because it's pretty high as well. So
we're always very interested. Everybody that has a nice location, a high location, or that has a, or just wants to link or wants more information, they can just go to the website or send an email. The email address is on the website as well. It's info@wirelessantwerpen.be. Sorry, and you can just send an email. We'll be very happy to reply, and we're always happy to have new volunteers or new people that have high locations. You don't even have to do anything. If you just have a nice location that where we could put an antenna, we can do everything from there. But the biggest problem is finding the nice locations where we can make a lot of links and get a lot of extra users.
Well, I'm sure we in the Netherlands are going to work on that and get the network extended here, because I really love this and the scale of it. Hans, the best of luck with the network. Thank you for being with us. And meanwhile, we in the studio will listen to some music and then look at the even bigger picture of our own internet. I'm so excited about all this. I completely forgot to announce the songs. Actually, the first song we listened to was, well, oh no, you said that. Wait, we didn't forget that. See, now I'm all confused. Anyway, the song we just listened to was Getaway, the Ultravest remix featuring Emonic by a GMZ.
Yeah, it's family.
It's what? It's
a family, bro.
It's, yeah, indeed. So next up, I was saying the bigger picture regarding this whole build our own internet thing is connecting all these loose. I've been saying this before, and I will keep saying it because eventually we are going to get there. It's connecting things like Wireless Belgium, Gwifi.net, and the things in America, the New York and Seattle wireless networks, and everything connected all together. But for that, we are going to need some satellites. Which is where my next guests come in. I have on the line Jens Oler and Lars, whose last name I forgot. Are you there, guys?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, guys. So, tell me, you've been working on something quite quite special for the Chaos Communication Camp, which is the... God, it's a space program, right?
It is indeed a space program. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Ah, okay. I was wondering because the music was gone. Maybe a few words on the Chaos Communication Camp. So, this group of Dutch hackers started a tradition of having a big outdoor event every 4 years. And then at some point, the German hackers, the CCC, decided to copy that idea because it's so wonderful. And now there's outdoor events like every 2 years. And all 4 years, it'll be in Germany. This year is a special year because this camp is coming up, and the camp is quite different from other hacker conventions. That it's not really about coming there.
Oh wow! That's interesting. We are now hearing some weird echoes. Are we there still, people? Sorry, are you there, Jens?
I think I'm there. Yeah.
Okay. I think we're being exploited. I think we're being exploited. I mean, we're using Skype here, so.
Yeah.
But sorry, go on about the camp.
I don't know when I broke up. We're having this great outdoor event. And we want to have more than just listen to lectures on, you know, the latest in computer security. We want to come there and build something together. And so we published a call for action because we think space, DIY space, is the final frontier that we as hackers must face right now.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. So we're going to actually launch a spaceship at the camp. Is that right?
Well, I would say it's a long-term program. What we really want to have, we want to start building a hacker space program, a DIY space program. And it's crazy enough to say that, but hey, when the Americans announced that they will send a man to the moon, they didn't even have the computer power to do that. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, computer power like that is in the hand of amateurs. But of course, we're not going to have a manned space flight at the camp, but we can prepare for that. There's so much you can do, like satellite communication. That's pretty well understood, like ever since the 1960s, radio amateur operated satellites have been in space, and they are called OSCAR, orbital satellite carrying amateur radio. And it's actually cheaper than you would think to launch such a satellite into space. There are also crazy experiments going on in the amateur radio community, like Earth-Moon-Earth communication, etc., like using the moon as a reflector. So this whole topic of communicating in space is already very well researched in the radio amateur community. But of course, we can do other things. There, one thing that we really want to do is build a little CubeSat, which is a little cube that is 10 centimeters by 10 centimeters by 10 centimeters, maybe have some kind of Wi-Fi router on it or some other kind of embedded, say, Linux system. And it would be nice to have a Java server, an XMPP server, that would fly in orbit and that you could communicate with when your hackerspace is in the right angle to the satellite. One thing we have to keep in mind is we have this hackerspace movement, which really spans all continents.
Yep.
So at a time when nations are like, of course, the Soviet Union doesn't exist anymore, and America is, just the other day stopped doing shuttle flights. So while the big space programs of big national entities are going away, we as a hacker community, well, we can really step in now, because we are an international movement spanning all continents, and the technology has become so cheap that it's actually doable for amateurs.
Yeah, it is. That's what I've been saying. It's great that people are picking up, having the same idea worldwide, because that's when things can start to come together, right? If we have all these loose initiatives and then... Yeah, put these satellites in there. That would be great. So, at the CCC camp, will we actually start building the satellite, or is it mostly getting the group together, discussing things? Tell me.
So, I think at the moment, what we want to have is a call to action to the hackerspace community. I know that there are already hackerspaces that did stuff like weather balloons. Some even dabble in satellite communication. I know that amateur radio is strong with many hackerspaces, and definitely we will have some kind of space communication with amateur radio. Maybe, I don't know, is Pylon on there as well?
Sorry? He had a bad microphone, so he had to break the connection.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Anyway. I think you organized something with the amateur radio already. So basically at the moment we're giving this camp a theme, which is we need to go into space. It's absolutely clear that this is like a long-term effort, that, it's only a few weeks away until the summer, and we will definitely have something at the camp, a little challenge maybe. But, all in all, it'll be something that will be with us for the next years. And doesn't necessarily have to be, like, very, very technical. But also, I mean, at the CCC, this interconnection of society and technology has always been very strong. So things about social systems of the future, or how to live in space and how to live in a small space, actually in a small room without getting on each other's nerves, that would also be something. But stuff like space food, water supply, crop growing, or simply stuff like keeping your muscles functional in outer space, that would also be things that you can think about. But apart from the good old rocket science of launching things into space.
Right, yeah, there's much more to it than just the engineering. Talking about rockets, there will be plenty of rockets around there. I've been there this weekend to be with the field day. Rockets we won't have a shortage of. It's probably the fuel that will be a problem. If people want to go to the camp, where can they find all the details? I mean, the wiki has just gone online, I believe. Do you know the address?
Yeah, all the information will be available at events.ccc.de/camp/2011.
Right, so that's pretty...
online, and you should be able to find your way around there if you're a hacker. And if you're not, then ask the friendly hacker in among your friends. One thing that we maybe should stress a little more is if you register now, and if you know that you as a group say you want to work on this manned spaceflight thing with your hackerspace, and you want to do this in a bigger project, then you can already register for renting tents. And by tents, we don't mean the little thing that normal people can sleep in, but really huge things that you can have workshops in, or basically assemblies, whatever. The organizers, the camp announced today or yesterday, I think, that they would be more than happy to receive applications for tents for larger groups that work with a common theme.
Pretty awesome. I'm looking forward to meeting you at the camp and discuss and actually do something about this idea of a space program. Thanks for being in the show. I'm glad you made it. And, I'll see you at the camp.
Yeah, thank you. Bye.
Right. So, meanwhile, that's pretty interesting. I was experimenting a bit with the compressor, by the way. I'm doing something new here. So, Joey, you can be happy. I'm using your compressor. I'm not entirely sure I know what to do with it, but I'll learn. I tried to play some spacey music in the background. This was by... I have to look on my list here because it says... where is it? It's Machinery of the Stars by Scott Buckley. It's a nice atmospheric song that you expected a theme tune from some science fiction show. Talking about theme tunes, here is some more music. Retrovisor by Og Voris.
Thank you.
And we're moving on because, Oki, how's your beard doing?
Yeah, it's very long, is this?
It's very long. You want to get rid of it, right? But you can't because...
Well, it's more than a year, no government in Belgium.
Wow. I wonder how the guys are doing. You know what? Why don't we just give them a call? Well, if everything works out. Because it's quite amazing. Meanwhile, you've been to Easter Egg, haven't you, Oki?
Yeah. So, what can I say about Easter Egg? They had a very cool t-shirt, very cool cup. And, you know, what they did there is like, it stays there in Hamburg. So, not going to tell you about the beer, the barbecue, and all the stuff. Oh, yeah.
Well, you just did.
Oh, shit. And we had some internet.
Some internet.
Yeah, okay. But it's like a family stuff, and it's like.
Is this like a traditional HackerCon? Are there lectures, or is it more like? Listen. It's ringing. We are going to. I think no.
Ooh, who's he going to go?
Yeah, it's. Well, if they answer, I mean, it's live radio. Anything can happen.
Pick up the phone.
Maybe I should have told them, Michael.
Hello.
Hey, hello. This is GMC
and Oki.
And you are live in Def Random at Signal. Because we were talking about Oki's beard, and it's getting very long. What's up with the government? We're still waiting.
We still don't have a government. I think.
How's your beard doing?
They're slacking. If you can say one thing, our politicians are very good in slacking. the way it's going right now, we won't have a government in 10 years.
Wow. So that will mean a lot of long beards.
Yes, I think so. But everything is going fine, so I don't think we need politicians. So I declare Belgium the first anarchistic state of Europe.
Wow, you're here for that. I mean, you've got your own internet, you've got no government. Brilliant. I'm going to move there, actually.
Okay,
and have beer.
We have beer and we want GMC here, so come over.
I will.
You don't need a passport. We have no government anyway.
Thanks. Hey, cool. Hey, hang in there, guys. I mean, have some fun while it lasts. I mean, you never know. At some point, they're going to run out of money and want a job again, those politicians. So.
Okay. I'll call you when we have government. But
yeah, that can be a very long time. So, are you going to be next week on HTB?
I'm not going to be. I was going to, but I fucked up with my work schedule and I can't take the time off, which is very sad. Hans is going, but I'm not.
So.
Well, I also missed you at the field visit. Actually, I have some shirts for you, so I guess I'll have to come over and do a fact finding mission about this no government thing again.
Cool. I think I'm coming over in the weekend though for the GNU Cash workshop in Rushes.
Yeah.
That's next weekend, that. Right? Yeah. I think. Well, it's somewhere in my agenda.
Oh, but then I'm here at PH Neutral.
As well. Hey, but Sandbender, thanks for letting us know what the situation is over there. I'm glad things are still okay, and I will see you soon.
Yeah.
Cool, I will. Thanks. And if you ever plan to move to Belgium, you know, you're welcome, right?
Come on over. I always feel welcome. Hey, have a nice evening.
Okay. Bye.
Have fun. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's Belgium. I mean, wouldn't it be great to not have a government? I mean, we have builders still. We had some stickers here in the Netherlands.
You had some stickers.
Well, yeah, some unnamed person handed me some of those stickers. Apparently,
do you want more?
Apparently, six of those were. For the listeners, these were stickers with the head of builders, our favorite, populists, right wing. I don't know. He has
a funny haircut.
Yeah, and he has some weird ideas about. Foreign people and everything.
And he has also some funny flags.
We had some stickers with his face in like a sign, a red sign with a red bar. Forbidden for builders. So people put that up in the city, like on...
everywhere.
Lantern poles. Well, according to the city, there were six of those found and removed in the city because, according to the member of the council, she said, we don't like this kind of vandalism, especially if it has a political message. So that's quite interesting. So one of the...
Yep, But every party is handing out stickers.
But they don't want apparently political messages, which is kind of. I mean, there were some questions asked by political parties, like, "Oh, that's interesting." I mean, totalitarian states also don't like political message. What do you think of that? And well, we're gonna wait. What the answer to that is? I'm trailing off. I mean, I have a whole program here.
We have
Easter hack. We had that because you can't say anything about it except that there was beer barbecue. I was asking, are there like lectures or is it just like hanging out, slacking, and
sitting in the sun, soldering?
Okay, cool. Well,
I got a new kit from Lilafish. I think you will like it because it makes noises and stuff like that.
Ooh,
with sensors and stuff.
Okay, so we are with sensors. Talking about sensors, actually, last week, the finalists of the Great Global Hackerspace Challenge have been announced. And I should have prepared it because I know who the finalists are, actually. It's the Hackerspace from Brighton, if I'm correct. They made nice cubes that let students explore various concepts. There's the Hackerspace in Charlotte in the USA. They made really nice like pads that you can stick on the wall, and they are electronic components, so you can make electronic circuits, but they are very nicely done, and well, kids can just play with them and make circuits and see what everything does, like a resistor or a transistor. And finally, Pumping Station 1 from Chicago, they made this kit to let kids experiment with biosensors. Congratulations to these finalists. They are all going to San Francisco to visit the Maker Faire in the 21st, 22nd of May, where Mitch Altman, together with the whole panel, actually, will announce the winner, which is going to be difficult, he said. While he's there, he's going to try something pretty big. He's going to have a team of 30 volunteers. Yeah. He's going to teach 3,000 people how to solder. Well, that's a lot.
Oh, well, then they need some shirts from us, probably.
Some what?
Some t-shirts from us.
Oh, yeah. With the manual, like the chicken shirt.
Yeah.
I know the shirts. They do. What else? NinjaCon is coming up.
Yeah,
that's in June. I believe it's the 18th, and there is a website, of course, as well.
Yeah, and it is in the whatever thingy.
It's
not in where it used to be. It's somewhere else.
Exactly. It's in the hub. I think.
Yeah, the hub. It's, Vienna or something. Hub.
Indeed, it's. I mean, it's going to be the last NinjaCon actually, because
it used to be PlumberCon. So
it used to be PlumberCon. Yeah. But
now it's NinjaCon. I'm not the ninja or something like that. Maybe this should fit.
I don't know. Yeah.
What's
are you a plumber then? No. But
I work in the metal industry, so I'm more plumber than ninja. Of course, ninja. With ninja, I think only on one hacker. That's the guy who is also Christian and the hacker. I'm not mentioning any names.
Yeah, okay. Well, the Christian. I don't know. I'm going there anyway.
You're going by car, right?
Yeah, I'm going by car. It's the last ninja tour. And
it's also the first ninja tour, but it's
there's never been a first. It's the first and the last. Why not? And it's the second as well. I'm just going to go there by car, which is kind of a drive. But luckily, there's plenty of hackerspaces in between and on the way back as well.
So you need people who invite you for the hackerspace, or is that already arranged?
I'm arranging that. I've been sending out some emails, and I already talked to some people.
I would go to Raumzeit Labor because you can.
Where's that?
It's in the great city of help me. not help me. Raumzeit Labor is in
I don't know. I don't
it's
know.
In
you
the in the city with the squares and the typical American city. It's in whatever and
in Germany.
It's in Germany.
The typical American city in Germany.
Yeah, that's a great street. It's like A1 and whatever A4.
It's like a grid.
Mannheim. It's Mannheim.
I don't know if I'm passing by there. Let's see.
You can legally sleep in this.
So, but it's not actually the last NinjaCon, because it's the last NinjaCon, but next year it's going to be besides Vienna. So it's still going on. It's not the last one, but it's the last NinjaCon because basically Astera is leaving the city for Berlin, which I don't blame her. I mean, Berlin is a beautiful city. But so that's NinjaCon, the Great Collector. PH neutral.
Yeah, PH neutral.
You are going to PH neutral.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going. Okay. Some of other space members are also going.
When is that? What is it? Where is it?
What is it? It's secret.
Okay.
No, it's not secret. It's like... it's like with invitation only, or you have to buy tickets.
Okay.
And it's, when is it? It's 27th of May. It's like Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And where is it? The University Hall of Berlin. And yeah, if you don't know pH neutral yet, then you are maybe not a hacker.
Okay.
So, and what is it? It's like a huge party, and it has also some very interesting talks. And mostly those are zero talks.
Zero talks.
Yes.
Zero day talks.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh dear, oh dear. Are there any 0 days at Hack in the Box, actually?
I'm not going to tell anything about TLS and NS stuff.
Oh, but you just... Okay.
Okay, okay. You want to...
Give me some rail-related 0 days.
Okay. The NS will stop transporting people.
The NS, the Dutch railroad company, yes, will stop. Why? I mean, that's...
Nou, well, they get tired of transporting people from A to B, and then people just walk away, and they don't do anything. They, you know, they take the bike, they cycle, take the bus, take the subway.
They do. They're not loyal to the NS.
No, they are.
I can totally understand that they want to end it. But so that's one of the big things we are going to hear at Hack in the Box.
I'm not going to tell anything about it.
You're not
going
to.
Oh yeah. We have some prize winners.
Yeah. What prize? No, we have to tell them about Hack in the Box in Amsterdam. At what is the date? Come on.
It's next week. It starts on
May 17th is the training, and the 18th
two
is
days
also
training, and then the, 1 day party.
May 19, May 20 are the quad conference, yes, tracks with lots of interesting talks. There's also going to be an excellent hackerspace challenge where hackerspaces can join. They are going to do something with Lego Mindstorms.
And you're not supposed to tell about the Lego Mindstorms. That's
well,
secret.
That's all over the internet already.
Yeah, but we don't have to leak this.
No, well, I did it.
What about...
But there's a prize. The hackerspace that wins this challenge gets to take home a 1,000 euro check.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. You can buy a lot of nice hackerspace gear for that.
Yeah. And there's also a CTF game is going on. That's
CTF, yep.
And that's the Winter Garden is free to entrance. So I would say, like, come over Thursday, Friday when they have lunch. They have excellent lunch over there.
Oh, lunch is good, yeah.
Yeah, with gold stuff on your cupcake stuff.
Actually, for the people who are now visiting the site of Hack in the Box, which is, what is it? conference.hackinthebox.org.
Demo or something.
If you see the price, it's pretty high. But you can get a discount. If you go to the site of the HXX Foundation, hxxfoundation.nl, you can basically look for Easter eggs. I mean, we hit some with Easter, and only one has been found yet. So there's four more Easter eggs that you can find. And
so if I find an Easter egg, but then I get in for free or discount?
No, you get a discount.
How much, my friend? How much?
You get a ticket for 250 euros instead of the regular. I have to calculate at 900. Yeah, that's right. So that's quite. You're saving 650 euros there.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's still another
people
money.
Should just go there. We are running out of time. We have had. Yeah, we said everything. We will end the show with a nice song, "False Flag" by We the Undersigned. Nice reggae song. Okay, thank you for bearing with me and taking me through this ordeal again. And to our listeners, after this we will have a show by i3 Detroit again. And after that, it's DJ Random again. And next week we will be back with Talking Anthropology and the Hackerspace Digest, which probably won't happen because that's the show that they do in Makers Local 256 in Alabama. But they had a bit of a kerfuffle with a hurricane there, so I'm not sure if that's going to happen.
So, the biggest news of now was like Asteria is moving to Berlin.
Berlin? Yeah,
yeah, that's big news.
We knew that.
Do we have a scoop?
It's No, it's not a scoop.
No, it's not a scoop. Damn.
People, thanks for listening, and until over 4 weeks. Bye bye.
1 for assistance.
We get signal. Main screen turn on. You're listening to the radio program about hacking.